I'm Brian. Welcome to the Optimus Roundtable Podcast, Episode 3. Hello and welcome.
Hi, mate.
KP, how you going?
Yeah, not too bad. How's things?
Yeah, good, mate. Welcome to the podcast, Episode 3.
It's good to be here.
Cam and Jake were 1 and 2.
Yeah, I've heard.
Did you listen to the first ones?
Of course I did.
Thoughts? you're allowed to give those boys shit because you work with them.
I'm a bit nervous.
Are you?
I'm not going to lie. A bit nervous. Reason being is Cam's a good bloke. I like Cam. We get along. You know, we have good chats and stuff like that. But it was the first one. And for the first one, not too bad. Then Jake brought some serious heat. Like Jake... Yeah, for those who are listening, don't know Jake, big, 6'1", 6'2", he just has a presence about him, and I think his voice pulled through on his podcast,
And he had some good stuff around long-term athletic development
Definitely. Always good having a chat with Jake and understanding what he's sort of seeing from his strength and conditioning background and how he can move forward with it, so
cool.
It was quite good.
So let's introduce you, KP, and a little bit about your background, mate. Over to you.
Well, my name is Kanashi, but everybody calls me KP. I was born in Zimbabwe, came here when I was younger, so grew up in Sydney, now obviously working in Melbourne. Massive rugby fan, so I think that's why we sort of get along quite well as well. Obviously, keen physio as well, so that keeps me busy.
How long have you been a physio for?
This is now 5 years. Had a really good start, I believe. And with my interest in sports, definitely keen to continue pursuing down the sports route. So that definitely keeps me occupied and keeps me interested in the profession. And, you know, all my goals are centered around that, which is quite interesting. So,
how did you get into sport as a physio, or did it start when you were still studying?
No, way younger.
Yeah.
I think all the sport that I played through basketball, rugby, always were surrounded by, strength conditioning or physiotherapy in itself. So that's never been new. And then as I got to a point in life where trying to figure out what to do and what I need to do also coincided with a few injuries as well. And obviously that naturally came together and led me down the physio route and combining sport plus any job, I suppose, has always been fun, and I get to do it on a frequent basis, so that's quite good.
Yeah, cool. Tell us a little bit around your background of sports teams that you've worked with previously, and then that will kind of lead into the current sports teams that you're working with.
So, I suppose from the start, I was working a little bit in basketball, high school basketball in Sydney, and then I would move down to Melbourne. I was working in rugby, so I've had a stint with Melbourne Uni, which was quite good. Worked in women's there, which was always fun. Currently, head physiotherapist at Harlequins Rugby Club, looking after the Scotch boys in their rugby program, looking after Rebels under-18s through their junior academy, which is keeping me very busy.
So lots of different levels in terms of school sport / amateur, and then up into the semi-professional area.
Yeah.
Which will be good to discuss around, your future goals and how those areas differ shortly. Tell me about your hopes and your dreams for this year and link that into any goals.
I suppose, nearing end of January, or we are at the end of January.
That's crazy. So it's a quick month.
So quick. It's been a pretty fast start to the year. Last year for me was a massive year of a lot of reflection, observation, trying to figure out exactly what I'm doing at this moment in time, where I'm lacking, where I want to improve. A big focus on, looking forward into December 2020, what I want to have ticked off is having experienced or learned. So this year's massive focus on injury prevention. I harp on it over and over and over again to my players that at the end of the day, I am a physio and part of my job is to be able to diagnose and treat you guys, but nobody wants to play sport injured. You know, you guys put too much effort and time and resources into making sure you guys are playing, and you have to enjoy that. And I think when you're injured, it's not so fun. So if we can avoid those injuries altogether from the get-go, or reduce the risk of those injuries, I should say, then that goes a long way. And I think that's my massive focus on sport, really knuckling down on that. And then getting a bit more advanced with my return to play decision making as well. So I know we've had many discussions around sort of the lovely toolbox that we've got available in terms of force plates and force frames and you know, different analytics that we can use. Won't always be, or it will never be my sole decision maker, but having information around ground reaction forces and rate of force development, understanding as well with the coaches what it is the players actually need to get back to. Yesterday we had a training session with our Junior Academy Rebels players, and I find myself really observing the drills and figuring out what positions players get themselves into, because that's what we have to rehab. So I suppose that's the thing that is keeping me really focused at the moment. And then, you know, just ticking off life goals along the way. You know, it's going to be a big year in my life, so it's going to be fun and looking forward to that. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. I know that we've constantly had good chats around that rehab coordinator kind of role that incorporates physio and strength and conditioning and coaching, understanding drills and understanding what makes a good prop versus what makes a good winger. And I think that's why you and I, we really, it's one of the things that you and I really love about rugby, is understanding all the technicalities.
Yeah.
And same thing with me in football, you know, I love football because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it is going to be a very good year.
Yeah. And I suppose with the many roles that you're sort of exposed to, it's very easy to come up with a nice whiz-bang sort of approach to it, where, you know, you've got your physios and your strength and conditioning staff and you've got coaches and whatnot, but the key challenge as well is for your community level athlete who, you know, realistically speaking, might only have one if not two coaches and a parent who's a manager. What can we provide to them in terms of education, knowledge, understanding certain principles around physiotherapy and strength and conditioning that can hopefully not only help reduce the chance of injury, but also get their teams performing a lot better as well. So that's a massive challenge in itself.
And I like that you said improving performance, because I, I feel like the two very intricately linked is injury prevention that then leads to team performance, and it's kind of the same thing. Cool. Anything caught your eye recently in the land of physio, sport, the world?
Oh, the world. This week I've been still in a bit of shock, to be honest, with the death of Kobe. So a lot of people who know me obviously know I'm a massive basketball fan, grew up playing basketball, watch it on a regular basis. Each day I get, you know, updates from different apps and friends on what's going around, not only just the NBA, but different leagues across the world. Interestingly enough, I had a discussion with the patient this week saying, I don't really understand this whole drama around Kobe's death. So the story in itself is huge. Helicopter going down in California with, you know, father, daughter, husband, wife, daughter, mother, daughter, and the pilot. And I believe there was one other person on the on board. You know, that's quite sad in itself. But as a massive basketball fan, I mean, so many of us grew up idolizing Kobe right from the get-go. You know, since he was in high school, coming out and saying he's going to be even better than Michael Jordan is a massive statement in itself. And you can take a lot of lessons about self-belief from that. Well documented, his work ethic, you know, waking up at stupid hours in the morning, shooting those extra shots. You know, you can take lessons away from, you know, work ethic and how hard you actually need to apply, you know, especially in a training format to your trade, to be successful. And you know, there's no basketballer who's shot a shot without yelling out Kobe, trying to emulate him. Funny story, actually. Before the days of smartphones and stuff like that, I remember YouTubing a particular move that Kobe used to do, and I used to screenshot each sort of little clip of that footage, put it in a Word document, print it. Then I'd ride my bike out to the basketball courts and look at the sheets that you could actually remember the phase of play and practice it. And I mean, Kobe was the first person who I did that with. Wow.
Actually replicate his body movements.
Yeah.
So what do you think it was about him that inspired so many millions of younger kids or athletes, other than that work ethic that you were saying? Is it the transition from him saying he was going to do things and then executing and seeing that he was actually doing all those hours and becoming successful?
Yeah, I mean, a huge facet of sport in general, and also the way Americans like to go about their sport, is there's often a lot that is said before you actually execute whatever you want to execute, you know what I mean? There's a lot of big talk that goes into a big game, a training session, and that sort of resonated with me. You know, like, how can someone who has not proven themselves on a world stage say he's going to be better than Michael Jordan? Looking back, there's a lot of other people who said that who have not done it, but for Kobe to win as many titles as he has, with the work ethic that he had, is just phenomenal. I really think that mentality, very few people have it, so that's why you kind of put the likes of Kobe, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, and those sort of athletes at that level, because there's just something in them that nobody else has, and that's why they're so successful at what they do.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, out of the tragedy, hopefully more inspiration comes from that.
And yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're to see who the next Kobe is.
There's so many people lining up,
yep.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Anything else caught your eye recently? What have you been up to at work this week?
Work-wise, came across a very interesting article. We had a really good discussion about it. Came about, to give people context, the Doha Agreement around groin pain, and separating that entity of, you know, hip-related pain, ductile, that flexor sort of pain. And there was a consensus statement that has just come out from Zurich 2018, particularly relating closely to the hip. And we looked at that in depth, and that's quite interesting in itself. I think as an article itself, there's not a great deal of groundbreaking information off, you know, the face of it, but if you actually read the article, go in depth, really understanding what they're looking at and what they're trying to come to agreement at, you could honestly sit down for hours on end, you know, really trying to unpack it. As we know, you know, I'm 5 years out, you know, you've been out for a lot longer, we're not going to mention your age.
10, I'm getting on this now. Podcast. I'm getting on.
But for anybody, you know, the hip and that groin is quite a complex area to get on top of, and I really commend these guys for coming together, trying to, you know, get a really good consensus around what it is that we're looking at. The most exciting thing for me, like all of us, I don't really have a lot of time. You know, I've got a lovely wife, I've got a personal life, I like to, you know, enjoy a lot of other things outside of work. But the fact that they can break it down into recommendations for clinicians, that's the first thing I look for in these types of things. What is it that I'm going to be able to take back into the treatment room or, you know, the club room and apply? And then obviously what they're looking for in terms of researchers to further our understanding around the hip itself.
A lot of very interesting Australian researchers on that consensus as well. Joe Kemp, Josh Heary, who hopefully we'll be able to speak to him, or Mark Scholes, who's doing the PhD on a future podcast. Just looking through Sue Mays, Karim Khan, Kate Crossley, obviously leading the way at La Trobe. So it's good to see all of those guys having a significant impact. I've always been a big fan of consistent language, especially around diagnosis, because there's such a widespread use of different languages, from GPs to radiologists to physios, having a consensus like this is awesome.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good that that got your eye this week.
Yeah.
Going back to your goals, the injury prevention stuff specifically.
Yes.
Tell me a bit more about that and what you think can be done. What can a physio do in terms of injury prevention?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much about the hip, but overall and in general at, say, the different clubs that you look after.
I think the first message I've got is we can be doing a lot better. If I look at my own personal experience, there's been times where I've been a sole physio in a club and there's no other support, you know. And I'm talking like there's no strength and conditioning coach, there's no other trainer. There is nothing, and looking back at that, I could do a lot better. You know, now, especially with, you know, the different roles that I have, you know, you do have access to strength and conditioning staff as well. And even in that environment, we can still be doing a lot better. My interest, particularly from a social aspect and work aspect, is rugby. That is a sport that we can go, you know, to another level in terms of injury prevention. There's a lot of fear mongering out there around injury rates that we see, particularly in community level sports. I haven't seen anything to the contrary of the fact that, you know, you're more likely to get injured walking down the street than you are actually playing massive contact sport like rugby. So I think using injury prevention as a tool is not only there to help reduce the rate or risk of injury of your players, but can certainly enhance stuff like community participation levels, people's sort of acceptance of the game, their enjoyment of the game as well. When we look at community level athletes, there are some really good programs out there. You know, if we look at World Rugby have recently released their Activate program, really easy, broken down into age groups, so starting right from your young guys all the way through to 18s and your older guys, looks at core, lower limb, upper limb, there's some neck strengthening stuff in there as well, and something like that can be easily given to a coach, taught these exercises, they can incorporate them into their warm-up, incorporate them into the cool-down, incorporate as extra sessions. You look at a sport like soccer with their FIFA 11 Plus, obviously they've gone to a whole nother level. The rates at which they've been able to reduce stuff like hamstring strains and groin injuries.
ACL injuries as well.
Has been a massive benefit to that sport. And it just goes back to what I was saying before, you know, whether you know, you're a 12-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid, 35-year-old, you know, masters athlete. If you can reduce that risk of injury, it just means that you're playing more and you enjoy the sport more, and that's what we're there to do.
Let's talk a little bit more in depth and in detail around, say, the Melbourne Rebels Academy. So, Super Rugby team, where they obviously have a under-12s up to an under-16s program, which is mainly state-based, and so they'll play in a national competition once a year. Tell us a bit more about the under-18s, what they do that's maybe a little bit different, and how that might be able to be implemented across a community level. Tell us about some detail.
I don't think we're doing anything too drastically different. You know, we always harp on just doing the basics well. You know, we haven't come up with anything revolutionary, we haven't come up with anything groundbreaking.
And what are they? What are the basics?
The basics, from the setup, I suppose, I break it down into two things. I learnt this off a really good podcast from Brett Bartholomew, and he was talking about cooperation and compliance. From a player's point of view, you know, as a physio, as a strength and conditioning coach, you have to find a way to get those players to be more compliant, particularly when we're talking about injury prevention program. You know, our guys, big, strong guys, you know, you got guys in there, 130 kilos, they'll run through a brick wall if they have to. But at the end of the day, doing something as simple as a calf raise or a, you know, Copenhagen or a Nordic curl is not the most exciting thing for them. So we've got to find ways to make it more interesting. You know, we always talk about positive reinforcement, getting them to a stage where they can succeed with it. So being able to give it to them in a format that's easily understandable. So we make PDFs, we share it in the WhatsApp groups, we will demonstrate the exercises, but they have it there with them. Once we teach it to them, they know exactly what they got to do, and then our job is just to make sure that they do it.
So make it a habit, effectively.
Yeah, make it a habit. One of the things that flows on from that is as they then potentially graduate into higher levels of the sport, you know, we're making our job easier for them because, you know, that physio or that strength conditioning coach will be able to look at them and go, oh, great, like, you know how to do a Nordic, you know how to do a Copenhagen, you know how to do some type of shoulder stability work, and it just means, you know, potentially we might even be prolonging their career, so who knows what that might hold down the path. And then from a coaching point of view, you know, it's imperative that we understand that cooperation is the key with this. You know, they give us the time, they give us the resources to be able to explain the things that we need to explain to these young athletes. They give us the resources in terms of, you know, Dropbox. You know, we've got Smarter Base that the kids check up on, so we know where they're sore. We can focus on a particular injury prevention aspect to training that we need to get on top of. So that's always good, ensuring that we've got that. And part of the toughness of it all is trying to get that cooperation and compliance. I don't think one is mutually exclusive of the other. They have to work hand in hand. Otherwise, you're almost wasting your time in many ways.
And at the different levels, so talking at Super Rugby Academy level, how does the cooperation or the strategies that the physio's got to use or the strength and conditioning coach has to use to get that cooperation differ at a school level or at a first grade senior Jewish Shield rugby level at Harlequins?
I think the higher up you get in that sort of level, there's a huge emphasis on performance. So as much as we talk about injury prevention, we're also talking about improving performance. If I break it down into that age group in particular, they're still developing. I mean, you just have to listen to Jake's podcast, you know, last week about long-term athletic development. They are still learning. I mean, it's no different to you and I who, would, you know, if we were to pick up a violin, like, we're going to be hopeless to begin with. The more we stick at it, the better we become, and the more fluent we are going to become with it. At the end of the day, you know, with this program in particular, come June, July, they're going to be coming up against some pretty stiff competition, and we've got to make sure that they're hitting their straps. You know, if we look at a community level, at the end of the day, it's about making it fun. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, you know, they turn up week in, week out. Often their parents are driving them all over Melbourne, making sure that they're getting to training. Some of them is their first time playing rugby at all. You know what I mean? So they're still trying to get grasps with contact, learning the rules and stuff like that. So if we can incorporate those injury prevention programs in a fun way, still make it systematic, still make, you know, it relevant to the injuries that you're trying to address. But if we can make it fun as possible, you know, small-sided games, make it as a punishment for losing, you know, a particular drill. You know, if you drop X amount of balls, you're going to have to do a Nordic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know they're going to be dropping the balls anyway because they're still learning how to pass, so we might as well throw it in there.
It's like a forced way of injury prevention.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, if we look right up at the top anyway, you know, I know the guys down at the Rebels are doing it quite well. You know, you guys at Bentley throw that in quite well. Each team has a different way of doing it. And at the end of the day, you've got to sit down with your team, figure out which players you have. Okay, what's the best way we're going to tackle this? And just be consistent with it. We know it's not going to be a two-week process. We've got to do it over a long term. How can we make it fun? How can we make it enjoyable? How can we make it such that this now becomes a habit is the key.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
So cooperation and
compliance.
There you go. Tell me a bit about what your experience, in your experience, tell me a bit about the exercises that you believe have had the widest impact and maybe the shortest amount of time that you've seen in the rugby teams and maybe any other teams that you've been a physio for?
Yeah, I think there's some really good stuff around how a simple exercise like a Nordic can help to improve muscle strength, therefore helping to reduce that risk of a hamstring strain. I am not the biggest fan of jumping straight into Nordics. I think I always begin with, you know, understanding the players, what their level is at. You know, you might go into an arabesque, for example, something that might be a bit easier for them. But certainly, you know, as a prescription itself, once they master the technique and their resilience towards a Nordic, you know, you only just have to look at someone like, I don't know, let's say Presland 2017 as an article that comes to mind, particularly looking at how they look at strengths and the influence on the hamstring sort of fascicle length and all that jazz. That's going to improve it. You know, if we look at something like a Copenhagen as well, for the groin and those adductor strains, that's quite good. You know, guys can look at an article by Paul Garris 2019, looking at adductor strength through the Copenhagen program. They're always good sort of resources to look at for those types of injuries.
And very easy to teach youngsters as well. So, you know, the 15, 16, 17 year olds, easy to teach them, very quick to do. So even if you don't have massive cooperation from the coach and you only have 6 or 7 minutes, that's something that can be done within 60 to 90 seconds.
And I suppose going back to what I was harping on before, these things take a long time. You know, there's no point in doing 4 weeks of a pre-season worth of injury prevention exercises and expecting back end of the season, once fatigue sets in, that you're going to have no hamstring strains through your squad. You know what I mean? So I challenge particularly anybody who's entering into the field of sports physio, any of our medics listening there or sports trainers, get your hands onto a FIFA 11 plus, the Activate program. I know Netball have their knee program, I believe. Throw that into some of your warm-ups if you go to the gym. If you're not exercising, you've got to get into it. These exercises are not easy. They're designed to strengthen these muscle groups and these particular movement patterns as well. And once you understand, okay, this is how hard it can be, understanding the regressions and how we can progress that for different level athletes becomes quite key.
Okay, cool. So cooperation, compliance and persistence.
Yeah,
yeah, I like it. That's the three.
CCP.
The three from KP.
CCP.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Anything else that you'd like to discuss? We've probably got another 5 minutes.
Maybe. Another 5 minutes? How do you feel the podcast has gone so far?
To me?
Yeah,
yeah, good, mate. You've given really good information.
Yeah.
And yeah, one take.
Yeah. Good to go.
Yeah.
You got to give some shout-outs, mate.
For me, what about you? Let's get you to give some shout outs. Who are your most influential social media people that you follow?
Ooh, here we go.
Putting you on the spot here, and it doesn't have to be physio related. So it could be business, it could be motivation, it could be sports related. Obviously, we've discussed Kobe. So you're a big basketball fan.
Big basketball fan.
Kate, he's opening his Instagram now.
I'm opening my Instagram.
What is your Instagram, if people want to follow you?
Mate, the question is, which Instagram should I be opening? Because I've got my personal one, which I kept to myself. Then I've got physio_KP, which, you know, everybody can access.
Okay.
And I do get back to people on that one.
Physio_KP.
Physio_KP. Obviously, you've got to look after the people you hang around with the most. So we've got Coach Jake Performance, you know, Jake over at the OPC. Kieran Lester has his own Instagram page. Also got Joey, and I can never say his last name, but I'll tag him in my next post. So if you jump on PhysioKP, I'll tag him on there. It's quite interesting, actually, because that's been a massive change for me last year. You know, I really like to keep my personal social media to myself. Not that I'm getting up to anything crazy, but that's just my own life. However, the day and age that we live in now, you know, you've got to be accessible to people and get yourself out there. So, you know, everybody make your own Instagram page, start posting up. Mine has no heavy content at all. It's just more to keep a track of everything going on. I've got one of my good friends, Arv, who's up in Sydney, recently started up his clinic in Pennant Hills. He's one who I follow closely on Instagram, not because he's doing anything amazing, once again, amazing work ethic. I mean, 5 years out, opening up his own physio clinic. Also, the work ethic that he applies into, you know what it's like you don't have a massive marketing team behind you and stuff, but getting himself out there is pretty good.
What's his Insta?
Let me bring it up for you. So if you look up Arv Clores, you'll be able to see him. The other person who I follow quite closely as well is the weights physio. He often posts up some really good content as well. Then, you know, you've got your big hitters in the industry, you know, the stuff that Lockie Wilmot's doing. You've got to pay close attention to it because it's quite interesting all the time. I often follow a lot of like publications, so like the Science of Sport, you know, your BJSM and all that, seeing what's out there recently. So it's quite cool.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome, mate. Any closing comments?
No.
What would you like to see on future podcasts?
Future podcasts? I want to see something controversial.
Ooh.
Yeah, something controversial. I like a bit of salt and pepper in my day. Yep. You know, I feel like there's a few things which I'm not going to divulge right here.
Hey, come on, let's do it. If people are still listening at this stage of the podcast, they're invested, right?
Mate.
Let's go. Who do you want to see, and what opinions do you want to see either brought down or brought up?
I think it might be nice to go international.
Yep.
International. With technology that we've got in this day and age, you know what I mean? I met him last year. He had a lot of big things to say. You know, I don't swear in my day-to-day life unless something has really gotten to me. So I keep a lid on those types of things. But, you know, you might just want to put a warning on this particular podcast that may or may not be coming up. Adam Meekins, you know, and he's got a few big things to say, so that would be quite interesting. I think there's a lot of physios out there, particularly in Melbourne, who have a responsibility. Going back to what I was saying about, you know, making an Instagram page and sharing content, whether you're a second year, you know, physio student, you're someone who's been in the game 10, 15, 20 years, you've got a responsibility to the profession, number one. You know what I mean? We've got our challenges as physios to push our course. You know, it's hard enough to convince a GP, for example, that a person with back pain should be doing, you know, an active approach to rehab, let alone some of the complex stuff that we've got to deal with. You've also got a responsibility to your followers to be sharing accurate and reliable information. And I think we've got some interesting people that I would like to just get an idea of why it is they see the things that, the way they see the things that they do, and what they think is the future of their game. Because ultimately, what we're talking about now is just now, and there's always going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I like it. And we'll definitely work hard to get as many big names and big guns on the podcast as possible. And
ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, my biggest beef with the physio profession at the moment is we are just in our little boxes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's so many physios working in rugby in Melbourne, but to be honest, have we sat down together and actually gone through what the hell it is we're doing at this moment in time? No. Don't tell me time's a big issue, because I can make the time. If I can make the time with the way, you know, I like to live my life, then everybody else can. You know, we've got amazing sports physios around the town. We've just got to come together, start sharing more information, start sharing more approaches, talk to our cousins over in strength and conditioning land, understand what it is they're doing. You know, I'd even go as far to say, you know, let's open our communication lines with osteos, chiros, you know, see what they're doing. You know, it's no good just shutting them down at the first drop of a hat, because I think there's some valid things that they might have to say. And let's just come together.
Yeah, cool. I love it. Good way to finish, mate. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time, KP.
No, thank you.
Your Instagram account that people can get you on again.
Physio_KP, and I'll be tagging, you know, all my go-tos if you'd like to jump on board and see who else you could be paying attention to.
And as usual, we'll pop everything in the show notes as well. Please do share, like, and put the podcast on social media. The more followers we get, the higher chance it is that we can rope in some of those big guns. And thanks very much again, KP.